under causes, good cause, that there can be an exception, and a judge may waive a 3-day waiting period. What the amendment would do would allow a county clerk to be one of the parties able to waive a 3-day waiting period.
Okay. Representative Bunn.
Mr. Chairman, I have had an opportunity to visit with Mr. Stearns, Danville County Clerk, and I have no problem with the amendment that would allow the district judge or the county clerk to sign a waiver. Practical concern the clerks have, and I think it's justifiable, is that they spend a lot of staff time trying to find judges to sign the waivers. My concern was that I feel there's a valid reason for the 3-day waiting period, and I didn't want just automatic waivers to occur. I have some concern still that the waivers will occur more than they should, but I feel that the clerk's concern and the request for the amendments is justified, and I would support it.
Okay. That everyone, I hope, has a copy of that amendment. I'm not sure if we put it in LC draft form. Not yet. It is pretty clear and straightforward. I think members have it as a Xerox copy of the statute 106077 and the new language, which would be a couple new subparagraphs, 2D and E, provide that a judge of a district court and the county clerk can authorize the waiver of the 3-day waiting period. So assuming we all have that information before us, Representative Bunn.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the amendments that create a sub D and a sub E, allowing the waiver to be signed by a district judge or a county clerk.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Bunn so moves the amendments previously identified. Is there further discussion? A comment? Any objection to that amendment?
I would object, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bellamy objects. Any others? If not, the amendment is adopted. Okay, any other issues? I think that's it in terms of the bill and amendments.
I'll make a motion on the bill.
Okay, Representative Kopeski.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2776 to the, as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Kopeski moves House Bill 2776 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Comment?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bellamy?
Yes, I'm not going to support this. I think when you look on lines 13, and I indicated this in the subcommittee, we're collecting a lot of stuff for statistical data. And I have no real objections to taking out race, but I also don't see why you didn't go all the way and look at occupation or residence or previous marital status. I guess I object to the fact that somebody says they shouldn't collect race, which gives this a somewhat of a more of a racial tone than really looking at what should be collected for statistical data on a marriage license.
Mr. Berea, do you have any response or
sure.
from the mental health or from the health division?
I called the health division and they didn't respond back.
That's not a healthy situation.
Okay. Representative Phillips and then Representative Hill.
I intend to vote no also. It's no great moral stance or anything like this, but I really question why we're collecting some of the information we are in. Remember when it came up last week, I raised the same question. It hasn't been clarified in my mind, and I... And that end of comment ditto to what was said previously.
Okay. Representative Hill?
Mr. Chairman, I guess just in response to Representative Bellamy's remarks, I don't know what the situation was in Oregon, but I'm from a state where it used to literally be against the law to have interracial marriages. It clearly does have racial overtones that's involved in it. I don't know what, as far as the other data is concerned, I don't know what the need for that is, but race, especially as far as marriage is concerned, it does have those overtones, and I think that when you have it as a requirement, I guess there are many applications that where race has been taken off of applications for that very reason, and so I that's just a statement in response to what Representative Bellamy said. It does have racial overtones, unfortunately.
Representative Miller and then Representative Bellamy.
Yes, I just inquire with members of the subcommittee, did we ever try to amend the bill to take out some of these other requirements, and was there any testimony in opposition to doing that, or any reason to keep things as they are?
There was no real testimony in opposition, and I think we tried it. If the members are willing, I mean, I'd try an amendment.
Could I ask a question of Mr. Stearns first, Mr. Chair?
Okay, I don't want to spend too much more time on this.
It's a yes or no question.
Representative Kopeski?
Mr. Stearns. Have you ever been asked by the Health Division or anybody else on a regular basis or to provide the data from that's required currently under the statute? Do you regularly send that statistical information to somebody to help you?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kopeski, the forms are a two-part form which is completed for the application marriage license. One portion of that form we microfilm as a part of our permanent record. The other portion of it is forwarded to the Ohio Statistics Division.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Why don't I try an amendment? I would move to strike out occupation and previous marital status.
Mr. Chair.
You want to do it separately?
Go on.
Okay. I would just move it separately then occupation, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Before I place a motion, Representative Bellamy, I'm a little reluctant to act on amendments without having the Health Division here, to tell you the truth. I realize we could act and we could sort of get their attention by sending this out and let them deal with it on the Senate side. But it's unfortunate that our effort at communication failed for some reason, and I don't know how or why, or if it was just a miscommunication. If we are going to amend it, though, I would prefer to take it back to subcommittee and do it there unless there's strong objection, so that we would have a chance to hear from the Health Division. And I guess if I need to call somebody there personally to sort of invite their attention to this subject, I'd be more than glad to do so. Representative Bunn?
What would be the chances of having someone call while we're in committee now, check on the question, bring it up at the end of our agenda, so that we don't move it back and move it on and put it on notices again, and just deal with it in that straightforward way?
If that's possible, let me ask Mr. Bria how many more bills you've got up. Okay, if this is your last bill that we need you for, why don't we go ahead and follow Representative Bunn's instruction, and why don't you make another effort, and if you can, do we have all the exclusions that are maybe moved? The two I've heard so far are, in addition to the exclusion of race, we have an exclusion of occupation, and perhaps a motion also on previous marital status. We can ask about all that statistical data, but I think those are the two that have been identified so far.
Is age important in any sense?
Well, there's a legal. There's a There's a legal
minority.
Reason. Yeah.
With good point. Yeah.
Thanks for inviting me.
Could I ask the committee members, if while the council is going to be looking for this, that, and as a one-time, sometime student of history, that I think these types of statistics do have an importance, and that students of history be able to go, and they do go to these kind of records, church records, all kinds of different records when they're doing research papers and trying to write articles. And I think if you look at articles in the Oregon Historical Society, that sometimes they will be searching through these very types of records for whatever thesis they're writing about. If you keep that in mind before we get a decision.
Okay, we will keep that in mind, I'm sure, Representative. Thank you. Okay, unless there's any further discussion at this point on 2776, we'll continue this to permit Mr. Berea to see if he can obtain some information from the Health Division. So we'll just set that aside. Next bill is 2160.
This is a bill from the Criminal Subcommittee, and it was a bill that addressed the question of whether the Child Abuse Reporting Act was too narrow in scope in terms of who had to report child abuse. The committee listened to testimony on that issue and decided to reinstate the old statute as far as who had to report, but they made some changes in the bill in other ways, and that was that they broadened the definition of mental injury, sexual exploitation, and negligent treatment. Those definitions are now in the statute, which weren't there previously. In addition, it provides that a person can be charged with a Class C misdemeanor if you are the person listed in the statute who must report child abuse. And we also heard testimony from people that were in support of another bill to broaden the definitions that would attract federal monies. The committee adopted the amendments, which would allow Oregon to do a feasibility study, which will attract federal monies towards a court-appointed special advocacy program, which is the kind of program that was set up in House Bill 2333, which was the Citizen Review Board bill. The other thing that the committee did was to broaden the definition of what a member of the clergy means. And those amendments are all in a reconstituted bill that is attached to your staff measure analysis. There wasn't any fiscal impact to the bill. And I'd like to advise the committee that this is the way the bill will be written when it goes to when it goes to the floor. However, Legislative Council is doing some housekeeping on some final amendments because they didn't get all of them to me. However, the bill is written exactly the way the subcommittee voted it out.
Okay, so this in fact incorporates those provisions of 2709,
right,
which would permit the state to attract federal dollars for the court-appointed special advocacy program, and also would deal with an issue presented by the federal language as it relates to mental injury to a child, as well as further defining what constitutes child abuse to include sexual exploitation. Okay. There were some tough issues for the benefit of full committee members who weren't present during the subcommittee deliberations. There were some tough issues presented, and there was a lot of discussion in terms of upon whom this duty lies. And basically, it didn't go, obviously, all the way that was recommended to us by the sponsor of the bill, but I think we probably did the best we could under the circumstances, given many serious concerns of those particular professional organizations and volunteer organizations. Let me note that there's been a further concern expressed to me and perhaps expressed to other members about increasing the penalty to a C misdemeanor. And it's my understanding that the reason that this was suggested was that maybe twofold. A violation has a 6-month statute of limitations, and apparently some feel that's too short a time in which to identify and to initiate prosecution of a violation. On the other hand, if we go to a C misdemeanor, that would take care of the short period of statute of limitations, because a C misdemeanor would mean a 2-year statute of limitations. It does, however, make it a criminal offense and carries with it heavier sanctions, as well as right to a jury trial, court-appointed counsel, right to require the state to prove its case beyond reasonable doubt. And the criminal nature of the misdemeanor has concerned some groups who are under this duty to report. And I've been asked, for one, to raise the issue here in full committee as to whether or not we are going to increase the penalty to a C misdemeanor or keep the current language, which is a violation. And I would, upon, I guess, further reflection and an opportunity to review these concerns, I would be willing to support a return to the violation, but I'm really at the committee's pleasure on that subject. I think, suffice it to say, the concerns are legitimate enough that if we retain the same penalty, that that issue, I'm sure, would be raised on the Senate side, as may other issues. Lieutenant Bunn.
I would move that we return to the violation as opposed to the misdemeanor.
Okay, Representative Bunn moves that the penalty provision, which in the amended version now provides a violation as a C misdemeanor, that we reverse that decision and retain the language that makes this a violation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Kopetsky.
Would Representative Bunn accept this as a friendly amendment that on that, I believe we're talking about line 19, that person commits a violation punishable by a fine not to exceed $1,000.
What does it say?
$250.
As long as that doesn't go contrary to the violation
it's
standards.
Similar to the subsection violation.
That doesn't violate our effort. I know there's an effort to try to get away from mentioning the specific penalty amounts in individual statutes, because every time you change the standard amount, you miss it in this particular statute involved. I don't know if that's a problem here. I have no problem with $1,000 itself. It's just
because it is that amount appears in the same section. I don't think we have any technical problems. I'm not entirely clear as to why we have violations punishable by different amounts. That's a subject which I don't think we can resolve today. And so if you'd accept that as a friendly amendment, okay, it is so accepted. So the violation language would remain punishable by a fine not to exceed, or not exceeding $1,000. If we may use that language, that's parallel with the language down in sub 6, Representative Kopetsky?
Yes.
Okay. By a fine not exceeding $1,000. Is there further discussion of that amendment? Is there any objection to that amendment?
I object.
Okay, Representative Phil objects. Representative Miller, any further objections? If not, the amendment's adopted. I believe the other amendments were all taken care of in subcommittee, so a motion on the bill would be appropriate. Unless there's a question at this point.
A question, Mr. Chair.
Representative Peterson.
I would just like counsel to clarify for me on Section 2. I know we had much discussion about whether volunteer people working in crisis agencies or safe shelters. By returning to the old language there, have we eliminated that problem so that people working in crisis agencies that are volunteers, those people are not required to report? Is that correct?
Yes, I think, you know, in line 16 of that second page, in the original bill, it talked about volunteer activity. We've stricken that language and returned it to the old language, and so it says any public or private official having reasonable cause to believe that any child with whom the official comes in contact, so they're talking about officials, they're not talking about volunteers, so I think it's taken care of. Although the amendment that you moved at the very last meeting that says any other person may report or cause such a report to make, allow someone to make a report if they wish to do so.
Okay. Any further question or discussion? Okay, the chair would entertain a motion on the bill as amended. Representative Peterson?
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2160 be passed to the floor with a due pass recommendation, amended House Bill 2160.
Okay. Representative Peterson moves House Bill 2160 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Further discussion? Comment?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Just before we leave, Leslie, on page 2, when you got the big X in front of all that list of people, where is, when we take that part out, what do we have left?
Okay, what the committee did is
they took that part out, but they restored the same list with, not the same list, but a list with fewer people on it in section, subsection 2 on this page. If you look at section 1, then you look at subsection 2, okay, all those people were the original people that had to report, okay? And so they restored that section because we had taken out section 2, subsection 2 of section 2. Because the second one that we crossed out is a much broader list of people. That's what they did.
It should be clear that the language that was originally in the printed bill to be removed at the bottom of page 1, lines 19 through 26, are to be restored. I think Council pointed that out. And that also applies to the language on lines 1 through 8 on page 2, though it's
yes.
not specifically
if you,
indicated.
If you lift up your attached amendment, beneath it is language that is still valid in this bill. It's just that when we put in the definitions, there's so much of it, we had to attach it this way. We had to flip it between the lines. So the language beneath the attachment is valid.
Okay.
And
again,
it's restored.
Right. And that, of course.
And it is restored on line 1 through 8 on the second page also.
Thank you. Okay. Is that,
yes.
I'll clarify that. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bellamy?
I'm going to vote for this, but I just want to bring to the attention of the committee one minor concern that I have. Too often we find that the employees report to their administrators and then there's not often action taken. I'm concerned because I think we probably by law could spell out the proper procedure by an administrator after they get information. But I don't know that that's necessary at this time with this bill, but I just want to tell you that in the school situation, you often hear the complaint of the teachers that they make the initial accusation to the administration. Generally, at that point, leave it up to the administration as to whether something is done. If there isn't a formal complaint filed, then the school employees often feel very uncomfortable that the administration is doing the investigation and nothing is being done. You may come back to them and say, well, you should have went directly to another official. So I want to tell you that in the chain of ladder of employee versus administrative relationship, I don't think we've spelled out the duties of the administration once they receive an initial inquiry.
Okay, I think that's an excellent point, Representative Bellamy. It's my understanding that those who share your concern are prepared to address that issue on the Senate side, and they feel comfortable with doing that at this time rather than asking us to go back to subcommittee and consider that point. So unless I hear otherwise, I believe that's the procedure we're going to follow. Is there further discussion or comment?
I'd agree with Representative Bellamy on this comment. And I think if I would look, if this is on the House side and through the Senate committee, that when it comes back for concurrence, that we would make sure that
okay.
The Senate deals with this issue.
Okay. Further discussion or comment? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Dunn?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Kapetsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Representative Kapetsky, I understand you're also seeking the honors on this bill. Is that correct?
Sure.
Thank you to all who worked long and hard on this bill. I realize it's by no means a whole load, but we appreciate your efforts and I hope you'll agree we looked very carefully at all the issues that were raised. Okay. 2709.
Okay, the next bill on the list. The substance of this bill was amended into this previous bill we just talked about, 2160. And we satisfied those people who were proponents of the bill's desires in putting the amendments in the previous bill. So this might be a bill that's subject to a motion to table.
Okay, in light of that, the chair would move to table House Bill 2709. non-debatable motion. Substantial provisions of 2709 have been amended to 2160, and this has been confirmed with the folks who were the requesters of 2709. Clerk will call the roll. No, he's excused.
Bun?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Petsky?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Springer?
Aye.
Table 2709.
Representative Bellamy, would you like to be recorded as an aye vote on tabling 2709?
Any time to table, aye.
Okay.
Remember that.
Is there an objection to that? If not, the record shall reflect Representative Bellamy as an aye vote on the motion to table 2709.
Any time?
2384.
All right, this is a bill brought to us by Representative Phillips, who testified on the bill. Basically, it's a bill designed to regulate the use of switchblades and change the statute so that it would be constitutional in light of the rulings that the Supreme Court has made in the recent year or so. There's a case, State versus Delgado, that said it wasn't illegal for someone to possess or carry a switchblade. Your possession or carrying was a constitutional right guaranteed to you because of the nature of the instrument, and that is that they looked back in history and said that switchblades or knives or dirks were things that people were entitled to carry, and so they said that the mere possession or carrying of it would not be illegal. This bill tries to define what would be illegal as far as switchblades go, and basically brings the statute into alignment with the Supreme Court decision. It also cleans up the statute with respect to concealed weapons. And the committee, there was no fiscal impact for this bill, and the committee acted positively on the bill and voted to full committee last week.
Okay. So the amendments were adopted by the...
Yes, and I believe we have a hand engrossed bill attached to your staff measure analysis. This is the final copy of all the amendments that were passed by the subcommittee.
Mr. Chair, Council, I thought we deleted ice pick.
As I recall the conversation from my notes, the committee voted to leave ice pick in because we were trying to give some definitive idea of what the statute was addressing. Originally, we took it out. The committee changed its mind, decided they wanted to list some of the items that might be dangerous weapons, and ice pick happened to be one of them.
We did go back and do that.
I was taking a break.
No, I didn't hear you. You got a problem with anything? That's for people of the subcommittee, that other subcommittee that weren't here. That's what a switchblade, that's what we're talking. This is the defensive weapon we're talking about in the stiletto, in case you're interested. So, Jim and I played with those once before, so we know what they do.
On camera, I understand.
If you do want to look at them, they're right there.
Good. Probably see that sometime next year, Representative Phillips, in living color.
Mr. Chairman, okay. He seems to enjoy this. Could we move on with this bill rather quickly?
I'm about to recognize Representative Phillips for purpose of a motion.
Mr. Chair, can I ask Mr. Nichols?
If you're concerned about the NRA issues that are up, just before this, Mr. Nichols gave me a list of 1, 2, 3, 4 items, 5 items that he brought up as potential issues. And as you remember, I worked with the NRA and the ACLU and every group in between to try and work out these things. He raised the question of whether we have JP courts, and I checked with counsel, and we do. He brought up an issue which was going to be part of my motion, which is to change, really, just some wording when we refer to machine gun, to refer to it as a National Firearm Act weapon. He brought up a point about we referred to citizens in one case, and we should use the word person, which I concur. He brought up an issue of making amendment to 166290, and since the bill has no relighting clause to that issue, which regards to a license to carry a weapon, that couldn't apply to this bill. And then there was another issue, question was, should we amend the firearms? The issue was carrying firearms, whether we should say loaded or unloaded, carrying openly, not concealed, within the meaning of the section. That's in the part that we deal with, if you want to reference it, is on the page 4 of the amended version of the bill, section 3. And when we worked with the ACLU and every group in between, that was never brought up. And in fact, I would resist making a change at this point until we have a chance to really discuss it. Before the Senate committee, there was a reason to change that brought up, and perhaps we could. But the other ones, the other issues that he brought up, I was kind of in my motion make that we indeed do amend the wording to that. So,
do we have, if I understood you correctly, Representative, you do have some amendments you'd like us to consider?
Well, there were suggestions made, and I'm not opposed to the suggestions of several word changes. So,
would it be your preference we try to do those now? Or?
Right.
Okay.
Move along.
Do we have those?
We do, and I could go through it specifically. If you would open your bill up, the first one would be on page 3 of the bill, line 8, where it refers to the citizen. Replace that wording with persons.